This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras.
And this week it is Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening. I'm Sarah Mantanis here with Ruby Susan, and welcome to tonight's edition of The Informer.
Welcome back, Sarah.
Mardi Gras kicks off this Friday. The festival's theme for this year is creating equality, and in the spirit of equality, the second event of the festival lineup will be a showcase of unique Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and community. We also plan to cover another story that broke on Thursday, however, we will be unable to provide a full coverage for reasons we will tell you coming up. On tonight's episode, we had hoped to cover the incidents that occurred at two fundraising events hosted by the anti-Islam group Q Society last Thursday and Friday. However, we are unable to find someone willing to comment on these events. The function held in Sydney on Thursday came under fire for comments made by two guest speakers, cartoonist Larry Pickering and Sky News presenter and former MP for Parramatta, Ross Cameron. Cartoonist Larry Pickering reportedly told Sydney audience on Thursday night that he can't stand Muslims. They are not all bad. They do chuck pillow biters off buildings, Mr. Pickering continued. Cameron directly referred to staff from the Sydney Morning Herald as being from the Sydney Morning Homosexual. Trigger warning for the Herald. There are heterosexuals in the room. I have to warn you that there are some males who are attracted to females in this room, Mr. Cameron is reported to have said. Cameron also allegedly referred to the Liberal Party as New South Wales as a homosexual club and suggested they build a wall around themselves in the style of the Roman Emperor Hadrian.
Despite public outcry, LNP member for Dawson George Christensen and former Liberal Senator Corey Bernardi both attended the fundraiser in Melbourne the next day. They were required to move through over 100 anti-racist protesters who attempted to block the entrance to the Melbourne Vic Uni campus, where the event was scheduled. During his address to the Q Society, Mr. Christensen spoke of the hypocrisy of the leftists, while Bernardi told attendees they were not hard right as labelled, but normal people with concerns. The Q Society dinner was part of an effort to raise funds for a defamation case brought by Halal certifier Mohammed El-Mogli, who is suing Liberty Alliance political candidate Kira Lee Smith over her videos alleging Halal certification funds illegal activity. The Greens will push a motion against Mr. Christensen in the House of Representatives on Monday, calling for his sacking. While we had intended to cover this story, we were unable to find anyone willing to speak with us on the topic. Barnaby Joyce, leader of the Federal Nationals, where Mr. Christensen is a member, did not respond to a request for comment, and other MPs we reached out to declined or did not respond to our requests for comment.
For the first time in festival's history, this year's Mardi Gras will include a space dedicated to celebrating the history of First People participation in the Mardi Gras parade. The idea was formed around a project by Tim Bishop, who in 2016 researched a timeline of First People's participation in the Mardi Gras parade. We spoke with him earlier today.
You're listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Ruby Susan.
And I'm Sarah Amantanis.
And we are speaking with Tim Bishop, who's the co-curator and researcher for Curie Mardi Gras. Thank you so much for joining us, Tim.
You're welcome.
From what I've gathered, reading about this festival's theme for the year's Mardi Gras is creating equality. And this year, the second event in the festival lineup is Curry Gras, which kicks off on February 21st in Redfern. And so this is listed on the site as being a vibrant showcase of unique Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture and community. How did this idea for a showcase come about? Has it been in the works for a while? Was this something that came together quite quickly?
Where did it come from? About 12 months ago, I am starting to put together the story of the people in the parade, and I started to put together a website, about this story and asking for the community, which I've sort of been a part of for the last 25 years here in Sydney, and I've had involvement with. I knew a lot of the history, so I put the call out for photos and stories. So I sort of knew anyway what some of the history was, but then I also went online to dig up videos to find, looking for black presence in Mardi Gras parade, and then I pulled it all together into a website, an interactive timeline called Black Mardi Gras Net. And with the success of that and the attention it got, this opportunity came along this year through Mughalan Performing Arts to put on an exhibition or arts event in the period of Mardi Gras. And so they had the idea, let's get Tim in with his project and we'll turn it into an exhibition and we'll put a few arts events, into that slot of that 5 days.
Yeah.
That's the origin of Kruger. And then we decided that about, sort of 3 months ago.
So while the official capacity you'd be playing in Mardi Gras came together only recently, this obviously has been a project that you've been working on for quite a while. It sounds like quite a work of passion.
Yeah, it is a work of passion because part of the reason why I did it is because a lot of the people who are even my age and older have passed away. So I really felt a sense of responsibility to actually document these stories that I know, even of theirs before me, or of my, of theirs now before, even people like me and other, other members of the community my age are gone, because we'll lose those stories.
Yeah.
And we'll lose that history. So that was a real initiative. Initiative was talked about for a while, and then just suddenly decided just to do it, just to start doing it. And I've enjoyed it. And it just got a bit bigger than I just expected. That's okay.
Well, that's always, I suppose, that can only be a good thing in most circumstances. And do you think as well, so the theme around this year's festival is creating equality. So do you feel that, I suppose, it couldn't have been better timed, really, for as far as the year to have this arrangement?
You're exactly right. And of all the themes, this theme of, creating equality is most significant, to First Peoples.
Mm.
And I know that, the Mardi Gras community, by saying creating equality, are asking the community to sort of think about equality, outside of issues, just like marriage.
Mm.
And for the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, there are far more important and far more driving issues of a call for equality that just, haven't been given or achieved yet, even in terms of health, education, employment. I still want the right to marriage and, exactly that. But, we're behind the the achievement of equality. So there's a bigger struggle still for equality.
One of the themes that's been coming through the feminist movement quite recently has been intersectional theory, which was first coined in 1989 by American civil rights advocate and leading scholar on critical race theory, Kimberly Williams Crenshaw, which was looking at the overlapping or intersecting social identities and related systems of oppression. And so the idea of an intersectional LGBTI movement is that you cannot claim to want equality for LGBTI people when you are letting some be attacked for racial reasons and you're letting some be attacked for gender reasons. Because if such attitudes are not fought and made a part of the general fight for equality, then it's not really equality that's being fought for.
It's exactly right. And, and what I'm hearing there is, sort of the reflection back even to the origins of Mardi Gras, which is the protest. But because in my research, I was looking at that. Where that protest came from was it was powered by the worldwide movement at the time for women's liberation, black power, and gay equality. And in that 78 protest, that call for equality by those 78 wasn't just for gay and lesbian equality. They were actually calling also for, you know, equality for black people and women.
The idea is that no one is free until everybody is.
No, that's right. And there's a real fear. There's a real fear around this issue of gay marriage that, you know, some element of the community might feel once that's achieved, all is achieved.
Yeah.
Where it's absolutely not the case.
Absolutely correct. And so I suppose that would be one of the reasons why I'm so excited to hear that your site got so much interest. Has there been a lot of interest shown around?
Yeah.
Interest shown around the exhibition as well?
There's a lot of interest in it because one of the things, because, you know, it's a relatively small community, you know, as in, you know, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community anyway, I think is, well, I'm not sure of the percentage anymore, but, you know, 4% population or something. So when you get down to, you know, the gender diverse and sexually diverse community, in parades, it's you know, there hasn't been, you know, a high representation. So that, and the quest has been for visibility. Mm. And so, you know, and that's the case for, you know, sort of any marginalised or, you know, or minority group. You know, they're small in a big pond so that, you know, they don't get seen.
Yeah.
But pulling this all together and pulling it into one project where that is the focus, you know, the focus is first people's you know, entries in the parade. But you get to see a picture of, without everything else, you know, just to have the opportunity just in 5 days just to say, well, we're just going to look at black people because actually in the parades and in the movies, you know, sorry, in the films and in the photographs that were taken over the years, you didn't really look at them very much.
Mm.
You know, you didn't document, you know, you didn't document them. So, you know, we pulled together what we got and pulled it together into a bigger pond and show it off. And you go, and so, you know, the wider audience sort of going, oh, I didn't realise there was that.
Yeah.
You know, such a level of black presence in the parade. And it's lovely that there's interest. There really is. There's genuine interest from the broad community, and there's great support from Mardi Gras, who are also co-producing this project.
In your research, were any of the findings particularly surprising to you, or did you find things like, were you surprised by, like, you know, by the black presence at Mardi Gras, or how long it's been there?
No, you know, there has been a few surprises, particularly around 1988, which we sort of recognise as the first official Aboriginal entry in the parade,
mm-hmm.
which is approaching, you know, sort of 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what got reported on, I knew it happened, and I knew some of the men who put it together, and mostly a lot of those men have, you know, passed. It was a small group. But when I went online, I was reading that it led the parade. And this was the year of the bicentenary celebrations, 1988.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent, and later found out, got actually in contact with somebody who was with it, that it didn't lead the parade. So what I'd come across was this sort of expectation, I think, from sort of, some, I suppose, modern-day people, that you'd think that in 1988 it would have led the parade.
Mm.
So it keeps getting reported. Somebody has reported it. And with the online being online,
yeah.
sort of, you know, it's getting doubly reported, even at, you know, like places like, you know, Powerhouse Museum Records and things like that. But it didn't. And there was and it turns out that there was quite an issue around it, that, you know, that they asked to lead the parade, and that the parade committee at the time were dealing with this sort of contentious issue of acknowledgement of any sort of the bicentenary. So there was a lot of press articles, you know, about this, and I didn't realise that, you know, there was sort of all this, you know, just contention, you know, around
yeah.
it being in the parade, but there was also support for it. And there was also, you know, sort of Mardi Gras stepping in and sort of saying, no, we're not allowing anyone to put, you know, anything in the parade.
Hmm.
So things like that have turned up. But even in that case, this is all, you know, business like letters to the editor that sort of, you know, sort of followed. I also came across, I shouldn't have been surprised, but I came across the gay press actually stirring the pot. You know, it wasn't so much
really?
The community. The way they were looking for a drama, you know, as in, you know, they were looking for a story
yeah.
you know, around all of this. But the other thing that, you know, it just is always there in the press is when they're in those times is when they're talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people or entries, you're actually not hearing from any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person themselves. They're not writing any letters. They're not actually being asked what they thought, but, you know, going back 30 years. And what led to then, the, you know, was a whole movement in the parade of around the period of reconciliation
yep.
where white fellas actually started entering
entries in the parade of support for Aboriginal and Torres Strait
Okay, so they weren't trying to take the place, though, because I know that that can be
overzealous
allies. So I suppose you were mentioning this idea because it was something that you just hadn't heard of a lot. Do you feel that issues like the different roles that race, different ethnic groups have played in Mardi Gras, or that different gender groups and different groups, including trans, intersex and bisexual people, have played is at times kind of overlooked in the big bubble of joy that tends to happen around Mardi Gras?
From the place where I am, get overlooked.
Do you think that as far as celebrating equality within, or creating equality within the LGBT movement, so this is obviously a fantastic step that there is going to be an area of the Mardi Gras Festival that is entirely dedicated to black participation in Mardi Gras, as well as your exhibition. I think there's also, I think it was Black Nulla, so there's going to be a showcase of...
That's right. Hmm. It is really important. You know, it's really progressive, and it should happen really every year.
You're listening to The Informer, current affairs for our community on Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Tim Bishop, co-curator and researcher behind Koori Gra and the first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander showcase for Mardi Gras. So do you think that there already talks about a similar kind of an exhibition or a similar showcase next year?
Yeah, well, actually, talking about things like next year, like there wouldn't be a call for an exhibition again, and also this timeline history will be there forever.
Yep.
So it's all the history is always going to be there. But we are talking that next year, what it might be is a performing arts, you know, a few days of performing arts, you know, across the board, you know, around poetry, performance, music, you know, arts that next year, Koori Gra, this might be this small sort of, you know, art performance event, excluding an exhibition.
Well, it could become a permanent fixture from the sound of it. Like, every year you'll have something else to add.
I think so, yeah. And it's really exciting because it's the first time and the community's really excited about it. Sorry, there's a plane going over. And so it's going to be, you know, the energy is going to show itself. Yeah, during this 5 days, I'm expecting a good, strong energy to be there, and that's what we'll call something to happen again next year or every year. And what it is, it's a great opportunity for the community to come together. You know, the parade is about coming together, but a lot of other places where sort of this community used to meet, you know, into venues or something, are gone. And in Sydney, you know, we're a city with, you know, sort of high rents and high population. So actually the marginalised are having to move away from the city. Providing a speed and come, it's not going to cost you too much, and you can all be together, becomes, you know, sort of more and more important. Also in Redfern, because it's happening in Redfern, and as you probably know, you know, Redfern's got a strong identity as an Aboriginal suburb.
What else do you think the queer community or the LGBTI community can do? So Mardi Gras is a big public festival. What other steps can be taken in, you know, the smaller community spaces to make those spaces for Koori LGBTI people?
I think it's about inviting people in, letting them know that, you know, you'd like them to come in. Welcoming people in.
I really hope that we have like something similar happen in Melbourne. I know that in our Pride Parade, our Pride March was led by the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth group here. So hopefully this will be something that's picked up in other states as well.
And I think, it's, you know, in the last few years, Torres Strait Islander people have been marching at the front. So now we've got Melbourne marching at the front, as you say. And, you know, it's about, you know, it's first people's rightful place.
Yeah. To me, it makes complete sense. Of course, you know, like the first examples of LGBTI people in Australia would be the first Australians or the first people of this country.
Yeah, that's right. And exactly. And then simply the first to walk this land.
Yeah.
You know, the parades of march is the war. And, it acknowledges the fantastic 78, but, there was walkers, on that land before.
I think they've gone back even further than 40,000 years at this point.
I think there's something 60,000 plus there.
60 or more thousand years.
In evidence.
Sorry. In evidence, yeah. So as far as, which is definitely the oldest existing culture in the world, like by several thousand decades.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely right.
It's
So you're right, there is so much to celebrate about that. And, you know, I for one had no idea that there had been black presence at Mardi Gras for the last 30 years. And I think that is a hugely important thing to know.
Yeah. And it was actually only, you were talking earlier about, you know, undigging research. It was actually only 2 weeks ago that I found a document that was actually in a reconciliation group, sort of papers, that made mention in a line of that the first Aboriginal presence in a parade was a banner plus gays in 1980. That's been, you know, when I talk about 88, I'm talking about like the first float that had the theme of, Aboriginality and the people that put it in were, you know,
so kind of mirroring what we were just talking about, we have the date we think and we're actually like, no, it's actually even further back than that. It's been there even longer than we were thinking. Just, I suppose, like, as we do wrap up, one of the things that I feel that has come about in the last few months as the world kind of moves towards a new renaissance of resistance against forces that, you know, seek to kind of undermine a lot of the pillars that we've been moving towards when it comes to equality, is that the LGBTI community is uniquely placed in that we have members of our community in every place in the world. Everywhere that there is the human race, we have people who are part of our community. Do you think that moving forward, addressing, you know, the issues of equality and intersectionality, how do you think we can make a bigger effort to make that again, of course, we will have to make a lot of work ourselves, like as a white queer person, to define this myself. Yeah, but of course, so what would you like to see change in the Australian, particularly LGBT movement? Like, what needs to change, do you think?
I think what it needs to probably just change what the visibility of those communities look like. You know, we need to more and more see these communities as not as buff, you know, men, all that sort of stuff. You know, just visually, we need to see this community actually just looks like you and that you or I. There isn't a particular look.
Of course,
that's only one.
The increasing invisibility, which is, you know, that's
increasing,
like,
the visibility, yeah. the real visibility. Work against the stereotypes. You know, hear the normal stories, hear the everyday stories of these people and the jobs they do and where they work and all that sort of stuff. That's probably the only way I can see. They need to be looking at sensational stories, in that regard.
You don't need to stir the pot. Fantastic. So again, the festival lineup is Kurugra, which does kick off on February the 21st in Redfern, and that goes for 5 days.
Yes, that's right. Sunday.
You can also see Tim Bishop's work at, was it blackmardigras.net?
Blackmardigras.net, yep, that's
it. Yeah, so you don't need to fly all the way out to Sydney to see this exhibition, which is fantastic because I don't want to go to Sydney, but I definitely want to see it. Well, Tim, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
I'm sorry for the signal.
No, it's not even close to your fault. I'm Ruby Susan. I've been speaking with Tim Bishop, who is the co-curator and researcher of Kurugra for the Mardi Gras Festival, which is kicking off in New South Wales very soon. Thanks again so much for your time, Tim.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for talking with me, Ruby.
Thank you to today's guest, Tim Bishop, co-creator and researcher for Kurugra. You can check out Tim's interactive timeline of black participation at Mardi Gras at blackmardigras.net. Or if you make a donation to Joy of $5 or more, you can go into the draw to win an all-expenses-paid trip to Mardi Gras in Sydney and see the exhibit in person. To donate, head to joy.org.au and follow the prompts.
We actually have had a donation just in now from all the way from Bendigo. Thank you so much, Samuel, who loves this station and supports you. Best of luck. Hope you get it, Sam.
This evening's show was produced by Ruby Susan and myself. For a podcast of tonight's program and other stories, head to joy.org.au/The Informer. Find us on Twitter at The Informer Joy and on Facebook, The Informer on Joy. The Informer will be back.
We're taking a break tomorrow for Valentine's Day, but coming up next is Outtakes, which is ready to break your heart just in time for the most romantic day, apparently, in the calendar. Now, we did just get a message in saying, have you contacted Tim Wilson and his response to the gay reference as a strong supporter of freedom of speech? How does he feel about it as a gay liberal? Look, we did actually contact a few of the gay MPs in the lower house. Unfortunately, no one was available to speak. We would be very curious to know, as a conservative LGBTI person, how they do feel about their colleagues attending such events. However, we can't give you that information unless we're provided with it. Hopefully next time, fingers crossed. Again, please, thank you so much for listening to the program. We are finishing a little early tonight, so do apologise for that. Again, we weren't able to do all the segments we wanted to do, but you can find out plenty of information about this online. And we also hope you do check out blackmardigras.net. It is a pretty amazing interactive timeline that goes back all the way to to 1980, when the first black participation of Mardi Gras was. But yeah, anyway, you've listened to The Informer, and I'm Ruby with Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back later. You're on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.